This is another interview brought to you by thebatmanuniverse.net.
This is Ethan Hill, game director on Batman Arkham Asylum.
Hi, this is Libra Mayo.
Hi, I'm Brandon Vietti, director of Under the Red Hood.
Hi, this is Gail Simone.
Hi, this is James Tucker.
Hi, I'm Dan Jurgens.
Hi, this is Bruce Timm.
This is Michael Jelinek from The Brave and the Bold.
Hi, this is Andrea Romano.
Hi, my name's Dan DiDio.
Hi, my name's Claiborne Moore with the CS Moore Studio.
Hi, this is Jim Lee.
This is Kevin Conroy.
Hey, it's John DiMaggio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Batman, and you're listening to my podcast.
Alright, everybody, welcome to the Batman Universe Specials. Today it's me and Apple, and we are bringing you an interview with none other than Mike Martz. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
So let's get into the questions.
Sure.
Okay, Mike, how did you become an editor for comics?
Well, I started in comics about 15 or 16 years ago. Actually started my comics career while I was still in college. I was studying journalism and knew that I wanted to get into the editing field. At the same time, I also had a huge interest in comic books, and you know, I've been working at a comic book store, and you know, always wanted to get into the industry. And I was also in the process of submitting story ideas to Marvel Comics and getting my polite rejection letters in the mail, a few weeks after sending the story ideas. But actually, partway through my college time, someone had suggested to me that maybe I'd want to become an editorial intern at Marvel Comics, since I was studying journalism and I also had the interest in comic books. So I applied for the internship at Marvel, and then I worked as an intern there for the Iron Man and Fantastic Four office in 1993, and that led to an assistant editor position about a half year later. So that was how I got into the editing side of comic books.
Okay, now then, how did you eventually get involved with DC and Batman?
Well, most of my career had been over at Marvel. I spent about 10 years there working on the X-Men books and various other things, but ultimately the X-Men books. And throughout the years, I had become friends with Dan DiDio, really mostly just by seeing each other at conventions or in airports on the way to conventions or on the softball field when Marvel and DC played each other. And Dan and I had become acquainted with one another and became friendly. And at this point in time, I was really impressed with the work he had done since he had come over to DC and the new energy that he had brought with him when he started at DC. One thing led to another, and he called me one day to let me know that there was an opening at DC and would I be interested in coming over. And I definitely was. I'd been at Marvel a long time and had wanted to try some new things and wanted to stretch my muscles in a different direction. And it seemed like the right opportunity at the right time. When I initially came to DC, Dan had me working on some different projects. I was working on Legion of Superheroes and Countdown Weekly and a few other things. And then the Batman editor position became vacant, and Dan asked me if I wanted to step into that. And the answer was kind of a no-brainer. I was extremely interested in working on Batman. He'd been the comic character I had followed or that I'd really started on when I was a kid. So it just seemed like a natural fit to come into the character.
Ooh, that's awesome. Can you tell listeners, Mike, which books you are currently overseeing?
Yeah, I manage the Batman group, so that takes care of a bunch of titles that I personally edit, which would be Batman and Batman and Robin, a few new series like Red Robin, Streets of Gotham, Gotham City Sirens, I'm also doing Kevin Smith's Batman, The Widening Gyre limited series. And then I also oversee some of the other Batman books that are taken care of by editor Mike Seguin. He handles Detective Comics and Batman Unseen and a few other related projects.
Okay. Now, a lot of people have wondered this over the years, specifically because a lot of editors generally start off as a writer or artist and then make their way into the editor. You started off as an editor right up front. So how much creative influence do you have as an editor have on the storylines?
Well, you know, we have a lot of creative influence, though, you know, I will say that when editors hire the writers and artists for the books, we are hoping to hire writers and artists who have a good vision for the characters and a good sense of where they want to go story-wise with those characters right from the get-go. I have no problem, you know, stepping in and adding creative ideas and story ideas and influencing where the story goes, but I would much rather deal with writers who have a grand plan in place, and then I'll help them move that along from step to step and make sure that everything runs smoothly and properly. So, for instance, you know, someone like Grant Morrison or Joss Whedon or Paul Dini, you know, those guys will have you know, a grand story in place, and you know, I'll help them kind of shepherd that along and move the story beats from issue to issue to ensure that everything runs smoothly.
So, Mike, from an editorial point of view, how important is continuity?
Continuity to me is extremely important. You know, working on the Batman books, you're working with many years of history, many stories that have gone on before, you know, pre-crisis and post-crisis. And you know, since you're not only dealing with Batman, you're dealing with an extensive cast of characters, you know, heroes and villains that are all a part of the tapestry of Gotham City. Because you're dealing with all those characters and all the past stories, it's essential to have a firm grasp on what's come before, what the characters have done in the past, how they've behaved in the past, how they've interacted in the past. You know, while at the same time, it's very important not to get bogged down by continuity. You know, and by that I mean, you know, you don't want to go into a new story, you know, and have to tell 8 pages of flashbacks in order to bring readers up to speed. You know, all the best creators can come in and you know, fill in what's come before in a natural way through the dialogue or through action. So, you know, you want to be aware of continuity and respect continuity, but you don't want to be held back by continuity.
Okay. Speaking of continuity, there's a lot of people wonder, and maybe you can help us understand, obviously there's some books that get delayed for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and they end up affecting something. Specifically, when Batman Reborn started, there was an issue where there was part of the story that was already taking place in Batman and Robin, but it was taking like a step backwards. The following week, Red Robin was taking a step backwards from where Batman and Robin already covered. In the books like that, how do you guys determine which books get put out which weeks?
Well, you know, it's a case by case basis, and each publishing and marketing initiative is a little different. You know, in a case like the Batman Reborn event, you know, we knew from the get-go that Grant Morrison's book would be our lead. And, you know, if there were certain story elements which took place before Batman and Robin 1 that happened in some of the other titles, you know, we respect our readers enough to, you know, allow them the flexibility in their minds while they're reading the books to understand that you know, in the grand scheme of things, our our goal is to have everything line up perfectly, but if it doesn't, we respect our readers enough to know that, you know, they'll be able to figure it out on their own, and we'll be able to piece it together. The best intentions are always to have things line up perfectly, but, you know, if things vary by a few degrees here or there, we accept the fact that falls into, you know, the grand plan of a line of books.
Okay. Now, have you ever had a situation happen in one of the Batman books that you regretted it happened, such as possibly killing a character and then wishing you could use that character, anything like that?
Not specifically. Story-wise, not specifically. But, you know, in any comic book, you know, you strive for it to be 100% perfect. Chances are it's not going to reach that 100% mark every time, but that's an okay thing. You know, you're doing 12 books a year on each title, and part of the fun aspect of this business is that, you know, the mistakes or errors that you may make on one book, you can learn from and apply to the next title. Occasionally things happen where you can take a step back and say, oh, you know, we could have done that better. We could have told that story better in a certain way, or we could have had this character act in a better way. Or perhaps this writer would have been better for this story, or that artist would have been better for that story. You can always take a step back and say, maybe we can do this better in the future. But as far as, you know, immediate story things that we've done in the Batman comics since I've been involved with them, I can't think of anything specifically that I would look at and say, oh, you know, I regret this decision.
Well, off of that, what story or series are you most proud of?
There's a few things that we've just done recently that we're super proud of. The Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader two-parter by Neil Gaiman and Andy Kubert was so enjoyable to work on, and we're so proud of the way it came out. That and also a lot of the story elements in Batman RIP with Grant Morrison and Tony Daniel, that was a lot of work, and it was very exciting to see how that wrapped up. We're also very proud of the work that we've been doing on the Batman Reborn titles. We knew that we were taking a risk putting Dick Grayson in the cape and cowl, and we knew we were taking a risk by introducing several new number one titles to the readers. But so far, the readers have really embraced what we're doing with the new titles, with the new creators, and we're very proud of what we've accomplished there.
One of the questions a lot of people always want to know is, who's your favorite creators to work with? We ask this to the writers, we ask this to the artists. Being an editor, who are some of the favorite creators you've worked with?
On the art side of things, I love working with Andy Kubert. I love working with Tony Daniel. In the past, when I worked at Marvel, Salvador LaRocca, I loved working with him. Jim Califeri, I've also done tons of issues with over the years, and he's always great to work with. On the writing end of things, I've done many issues with Grant Morrison. That's always fun. And at Marvel, working with Joss Whedon was great. Then there's a few other guys that we have writing books right now that I love working with, Fabian Nicieza and Chris Yost. And Paul Dini too, and I know I'm forgetting a bunch of other guys, but those are some of my favorite creators to work with.
Mike, let me ask you: what do you think makes Batman such a unique character?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to the foundation of the characters that, you know, essentially he is a man, first and foremost, a man, a normal human being, just like you and me. He wasn't an alien from another planet. He didn't have a magical talisman given to him. Everything that Batman is or Batman has become was dictated by his own decisions in life and how he reacted to the events of his life. And I think that's why so many, you know, not only comic readers, but you know, people in the world can relate to Batman, is because they can see in him a human being who has made choices and who has become this pinnacle of strength and virtue and truth and justice. And you know, people aspire to be like that. And I think that's why Batman is so unique.
Now, to get into, I guess, the future of things, next year is going to be DC's 75th anniversary. Are there any special plans for Batman having to do with DC's 75th anniversary?
Yeah, there are. There are, personally speaking, from events going on in the Batman office, we are leading up towards Batman 700. That happens around June of next year, and we'll definitely be taking that opportunity and pushing it to the fullest extent. Story-wise and creator-wise, and anything we can do to make it special, we'll be making it special. And then there may be other things where Batman is involved in other areas of the DC 75th anniversary, but that'll probably be covered by other offices or other areas. But for us, we're leading towards Batman 700 as a very big event.
You know, speaking about this event, how far out do the events and stories? How far do they get planned out for?
We plan pretty far in advance. For instance, right now we're sending in October of 2009, and our major story beats, we know where we're headed a year from now. That doesn't mean every fine detail with every character and every story beat, but our major storylines, we know where we're going about a year out. And then we, as we get closer, as we get 6 to 7 months away, we develop things a little bit more and firm things up a little bit more. That's our basic time frame.
Now, speaking of that, now we always find out as fans, we always find out when new writers and new artists are coming on the books, when the new solicitations or right before the new solicitations are released by DC, but. Mm-hmm. Being the fact that you guys plan stories out well in advance, do you know who are going to be writing on the stories and doing the art well in advance as well?
For the most part, we do. Yeah, especially with the writers, we're working very long term. Here at DC, if it's if it's guys like Jeff Johns or Grant Morrison or Greg Rucka, we're planning things out pretty far in advance, and that means close working relationship with those guys, and also firm commitment on both our ends, that we're going to be working with one another on these books for the next few months to a year, and on the art side too. We decide early on who's going to be working on what titles and what major initiatives we're working towards.
Okay. Who are some of the behind-the-scenes people that are not recognized very often?
Well, over here we have a number of different departments besides editorial that really are unsung heroes. We have a production department, and the production department does everything from working with our colorists to ensure that the color files are good, and we have an in-house lettering department, which is also part of production. These guys, they are our anchor. They help to ensure that our books, whether they're on time or late, get to the printer on time and get printed and on schedules so that they can get out to the stores and ensure that the quality of the printing is up to par. So, the production department really is a group of unsung heroes over here. And And then on the other side of things, the guys who do the advance work for us, whether it's the sales and marketing team, you know, sales guys working with the retailers or the marketing team working with the news outlets and the conventions to get the word out there about how great our product is, you know, we wouldn't be able to sell the amount of books that we do without the help of the sales and marketing team over here.
Okay, and then finally, recently in the back of the comics, we found out why Batman Robin number 7 was not in the December solicitations because it coincides with something going on with Blackest Night. Going off of that, can you talk about anything that's upcoming projects or in the titles and in the Batman universe in general, specifically the fact that we're slowly starting to see the Bat titles cross over into Blackest Night?
Well, you know, obviously there's the Batman Blackest Night limited series going on right now, which is, you know, one of the main areas where we see Batman and the other characters, Red Robin and Robin, crossing over into the Blackest Night area. You know, there may be additional stuff coming down the road. You know, a little too early to say exactly what. But when you have an event like Blackest Night, which affects the entire DC universe, it's hard for us not to be involved and to not have repercussions coming from that event.
So, Mike, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show and answering all of our questions for all the listeners.
Oh, no, I appreciate it, guys. Anytime. It's my pleasure.
Thanks, Mike.
Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.